Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Hear ear, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. You brought the vine out of Egypt. It took deep root and filled the land. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
We welcome you to our service today on the second Sunday of Advent, and we celebrate the Lord's gifts of his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And as we offer our prayer, praise, and gifts unto the Lord as well, if you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings also. Our service begins this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 347 in the hymnal, Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. We do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of that hymn if you're able. Let's sing together. Thank you. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Some amazing things taking place in our lectionary readings for this morning. Our first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. But what we see as we go through our readings today is an amazing connection between Old Testament and New, finding its fulfillment, of course, in our Lord Jesus. But as we hear the words of Isaiah the prophet this morning, kind of hang on to some of them, as we'll also hear them repeated then by John the Baptist in our gospel reading today. We begin in verse 1 of Isaiah's prophecy in the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson for today is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming day of the Lord, of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Our hymn of the day for this morning is hymn 344, On Jordan's Bank, The Baptist's Cry. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
John the Baptist preached and said, "After me comes he who is mightier than I." In Jesus' name, be seated. Sounds like a simple statement from John the Baptist this morning. After me comes he who is mightier than I. And we know what John is talking about, right? Our Lord Jesus, who in fact John baptizes in the River Jordan, and Jesus goes on, of course, to live his life of ministry, be crucified on the cross, and resurrect on the third day, ascend up into the heavens, and then send the Holy Spirit, which John also mentions in our text, to us, baptizing us, not just in the name of the Father and the Son, but also in the name of the Holy Spirit. As John said, what happened, so has come to pass. This simple statement that he makes, after me comes one who is mightier than I, I'd like to suggest this morning, as humbly as possible, that this is a statement that every single one of us, myself included, needs to deal with. Because it wasn't just after John, this is what he's pointing out, but even before John, there was one who was mightier than him. And I submit to you this morning, before you, before me, God was. Long before we ever had a single thought in our minds, he was. And after us, still will be. The Alpha and the Omega, the scriptures call him, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, forever and ever and ever. Students struggle with this in their catechism classes when we tell them, from the scripture, of course, that there was never a time that God was not, that he doesn't have a beginning like you do, or like I do. He's always been. And our brain goes, error code, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't make sense because he's greater than we are. One of my favorite analogies of this is you try to take an old video game and you try to plug it in to a brand new PS5. Like, you know, the old Atari games? Yeah. Or reverse it. Let's take one of the new video games and plug it into the old Atari. Nothing's going to show up, right? The old machine can't read the new game, and vice versa. When God's Word comes to us and tells us magnificent things about him, like John's telling us this morning, we can't calculate all of them. Seems like a simple point, right? But it's showing us that God's greater than us. He's greater than you. It's actually proof. What do we do with this information? Friends, I submit to you this morning that it's more than information. Because see, that's another thing where we think the opposite of what John the Baptist says. He says, after me comes one who's mightier than I. I submit again, that's a thought and a concept that we all need to deal with. Because when we look at the Bible, when we open up the pages of the scriptures, when we hear them read out loud, we so often deal with this book like we're separate from it. Like it's a piece of information out there in the world of information. And we want to engage with it, sure, thank God, and deal with what it says, yeah. But it's not separate from us. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus Christ, he says it himself, I and the Father are one. That Jesus Christ is God himself in the flesh. And then it also tells us in chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm holding in my hands, and you have one, and there's one in front of you in your pew, the Word of God, which is Christ himself. So when we deal with the Bible, when we hear these messages, the teachings of Scripture, that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, like Paul tells in Romans chapter 3, that even he goes as far as to say, there's none good, no, not one. And what he's doing is he's making sense out of what we heard from Isaiah and what John the Baptist tells us in the other gospel accounts, especially in Luke. That the valleys will be raised up and the hills will be brought down, and that God's word will make level the path. He's letting us in on the fact that whether we think we're great and intelligent and good enough for God, or maybe we think that we're not sure about what's written in this Bible. Maybe that's our thought. We're looking at it like a piece of information among many pieces of information. As we're up on that mountain, the hill of pride, we need to hear the message. After me comes one who's mightier than I, and before me he always has been and ever will be. Yeah. But if we're thinking about what he's saying to us there, every hill lifted up, every valley lifted up, every hill brought down, he's showing us the reality of what God's word does. It comes to us and it tells us exactly who we are, apart from our fanciful ideas, apart from, you know, whatever I have on today, or however much, you know, I'm feeling cool that day, however my hair is done. Got my hair cut, by the way. I bet you noticed. No matter how we feel about ourselves, the message of Isaiah that we read this morning is telling us when God's word comes to us, it tells us something about ourselves. If we're up on the hill of pride, it's going to lower us. It's going to tell us that we've sinned. If we're down in the depths of the valleys of despair, if things aren't going our way and life is tough, then the gospel's going to lift us up. And it's going to put us all on level ground before God so that we're all the same. So that there isn't one person who's better than another. Trust me, God's not looking at this the way that we are. Comparing ourselves among ourselves. Thinking, well, this person and that person and me, and how do I fit into this? No, he makes the ground level when he teaches us the truth about ourselves. But this is the thing. When it comes to this book, when it comes to the words of the Scripture, we're not disconnected from this at all. In fact, God's word, Christ himself, is our very life. Where was your origin? Or mine? Where did we come from? The Scripture tells us. You were knit together in your mother's womb by the hand of Almighty God. He made you. And the Scripture tells us, he knows the numbers of hairs on your head and mine. It's not an exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. It's reality. So when we deal with God's word, we're not dealing with something that's just an option on a buffet of information. We're not dealing with something that's disconnected from us fundamentally. But we're actually dealing with God himself, who's very connected to us fundamentally, who literally formed us and fashioned us, who knows us intimately knows our frame, the psalmist will say. It goes so far as this. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, when he's preaching to the philosophers in Athens, he'll say to them, unbelieving philosophers in Athens, he'll say to them, in him, Christ, we move and live and have our being. We want to build a life completely disconnected from God's law sometimes. We want our own pleasures. We want our own ideas. We want life to go how we plan it out. And when it doesn't, we get frustrated and upset. In him, we move and live and have our being. The life that we're trying to build, if it's apart from the Word of God, is a deception. It's not real. The truth is, God's going to, in his loving kindness and in his grace and in his fatherly heart and in his goodness, he's going to find a way, friends, to break into that reality that we're trying to manufacture. Where, guess what? In that reality, we don't say, after me comes one who's greater than I. We say, it's all about me. And we go after our lusts. And in that reality, he breaks in. He's perhaps broken in this morning to us again and reminded us of our true life, of our true origin, of the truth of who we are, of our own identity given to us in the pages of the scriptures. So when we hear the law from God that says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and that there's no good, no, not one, sometimes we say, how could God really say that about me? I mean, I try my best. I try to live as best I can. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth about you. And it's the truth about me. Because this book is not disconnected from us, but in it is our own reality. Our own definition, our true definition, from the mouth of a living God who tells us who we are. After me comes one who's mightier than I. We need to wrestle with him. Because he's mightier in amazing ways. Ways that you might not consider when you first start thinking about God in our own ideas of him. Because there we think of judgment. We think of, I've sinned and he's angry. This bad thing has happened to me because of these things that I did. No, friends. The one who's mightier than us. The one who was before us and always will be after us, but has chosen in his loving grace to include us in himself in the baby Jesus born at Christmas. And the fact that he's a human being and so are you and so am I. This one who's mightier than us is mightier than us primarily in this way. His might, his strength, the amazing power of Almighty God, the Lord of Sabaoth, who can destroy us in a second if he wanted to. That amazing power that could wipe out the whole world. Did you hear, Peter? The sun and the moon and the elements in the heavens are going to burn and dissolve. His power is so great. And yet he uses it to love you and me. And to forgive you and me all that power to show you his love. That's what he wants. That's what he's doing. That's what this is. It's the truth about you. It's the truth about me. And it's telling us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's telling us your servants, he says, but I call you friends. Because the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but his friends know. He's literally working everything out in your life and in my life to bring this message to us. That no matter what we think about ourselves, no matter what our ideas are, this is the truth about you and me. We're lost without him in sin and death. And it's almost like this. I'm almost finished, don't worry. It's almost like that parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember that one? Where the son asks for his inheritance early. And then he runs off and wastes the money on his own pleasures. And then he comes back home. After he sees that the pig slop looks delicious where he's working and can't get any food, and that life isn't actually working out for that prodigal son the way he thought he would when he had all the cash, right? We try to build our own realities. We forget that after us and before us, there was God, and he's greater than us. We forget. And so we go about our life trying to manufacture our own identities and our own realities. We try to build for ourselves something that takes us away from the scriptures many times. We're almost like that prodigal out there in the fields feeding the pigs, trying to make something out of nothing. And then, like John said, after me comes one who's mightier than I. And that mightier one used all that power on heaven and earth to send to you his word, and through his living word, who is the Christ himself, comes a spirit of the living God who speaks to us through the word and says, guess what? This is the message. That pig slop is just slop. Whatever you're trying to build and make in your life, make sure and understand that there was one before you, and he'll be after you as well. And he's the one who cares for you and sustains you throughout the whole process. Don't lose sight of that and what you're trying to build. Because when that message comes, just like with the prodigal son, that message is, hey, wait, this situation isn't very good. Remember, my father loves me, but he wouldn't accept me. I feel like I'm disconnected from him. I feel like he's separate from me now, and I've messed it all up. And then he goes back, the prodigal, thinking he's going to have to be a servant of his father, right? He won't accept me. He won't take me. I've sinned against him. What does the father do in the parable? As soon as he sees that boy coming, he runs. Because he's been waiting. And when he shows up, there's no scolding, friends. There's no anger. There's no bitterness. No, everything the father is used to love his son. He puts a robe on him. He puts the family ring on him. And he says, let's party. He's back. He was dead, but now he's alive. That son misunderstood who he was. So do we. But God tells us the truth once again this morning. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If that message is bouncing off of your ears this morning, don't be disbelieving, but believing. This is you. And none of us have earned a thing when it comes to our God. But he saw us coming, friends. And he's run to you again today with his love and his kindness and all the power of the universe to make sure and bring to us the truth of his forgiveness. Because after us comes one mightier than we are. In In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. For our sin and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, and who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
We now come to the time in our service where we offer our prayers to our Lord in the prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. As you led Joseph like a flock, so now, by your Son, the very Word of God, lead us in straight paths in our life that are based and have their foundation on what you tell us about ourselves in the Scriptures. Bring us out of bondage to our sins and plant us securely in your eternal promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you sent John the Baptist to herald the coming Messiah and proclaim a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In these latter days, you send pastors to proclaim the same repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And through their congregations, their service, their time, their giving, Lord, you lead people to trust in what you say and in your salvation. Lord, look with kindness on all congregations in our synod, upon each and every believer. Protect all of them, their pastors, their teachers, their DCDs, their musicians. Lord, as you continue to be a light in a dark world, may they be diligent and faithful heralds of your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
God of all comfort, your word endures forever. Long before our lives and long after, will your message of love and forgiveness reach out to all? Will the nations of this world come and go too? Even kings and rulers are like grass before your breath, as the prophet said. Preserve us from placing our trust in earthly things or princes or mortal men, or give us rulers who will rule recognizing the same reality, that it's your word that tells them who they are. Keeping and protecting life and living peaceably in godly quietness and honesty with all. Lord, in your mercy. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, to our prayers this morning, especially for Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Reverend Mike Lastly, Jim and Linda Holman, Lee and Mary Connor, Alice, Kevin Rice and Audrey Price, for Debbie Ford and Carolyn Jury, Ramona Hauser and Marcella Pilcher, for Betty Gray and Sandy Santa Stephen, Lord, for Betty Patton and Sonny Roadrunner, for Ella Clark, for Greg, for Chris, and for Don Hermanson, and for all those that we name silently in our hearts at this time. Lord, give healing, courage, perseverance to all who cry to you, that they may find comfort in your word and the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we don't know how to say thank you when we look at all the blessings we have. Lord, through your truth and through your word, keep our focus on those things, we pray, those blessed things that you provide us each and every day that are so easy to take for granted. Lord, the blessings are so many, and yet it's the few bad things that happen to get all of our attention. Lord, help us by your word and Holy Spirit not to stray away from you in these things, but to hear your commandments, to hear your forgiveness, and Lord, to live always within the truth of your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you invite us again to your table to receive the medicine of immortality in the body and blood of Christ, your Son. May we receive this sacrament rightly, that with faith strengthened and sins forgiven, our lives may be lived in holiness and godliness. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as we in the church on earth wait for the coming of your Son, we remember all those believers who've gone before us and now rest in your presence. Keep us safe in your arms until you gather your people together in the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have a blessing this morning as our offerings are collected and presented, that we enjoy some music from our TLC singers up there in the balcony. They'll be singing the hymn, The Advent of Our King.
Oh.
Gracious Lord, we lift up these gifts, tithes, and offerings unto you this morning. Lord, we pray you bless the gifts, the givers, and those that cannot give. Lord, that you use these, we beg you, that others might hear the gospel of your love and forgiveness and find their home within their true identity that you give us in the Holy Scriptures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. We wish you the Lord's blessings and his continued love and forgiveness throughout whatever comes about in your day today. And if you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 10 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. Sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Amen.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.